So anyhow, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this place and what you've done here, Lord. And I thank you for Pastor Joe. He's been such a faithful servant all these years, Lord. And he's been through a lot, hard times, easy times, Lord. I'm so thankful that he got to get away with just him and his wife, Lord, to just go and rest. And they sent pictures sitting under the palm trees, and it's a blessing that you created places for us to go. I do thank you. I just lift this time up to you, and I pray that as we go through your word, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Me and my wife are kind of weird. We used to have a fifth-wheel camper, and every time we went camping somewhere, we'd come home earlier than we expected because we just like home. It's beautiful. A lot of you have been to my house for baptisms, and we're supposed to be having one, and we were supposed to do it before school got over, and we didn't. So we're going to do it in the gym, get the old cattle trough out, but we can put warm water in it now. So, and then we don't have to get in. So I'm going to be in 1 Peter. And you know, it's one of those things, I finished the book of James and it's kind of sad because I really like that book, but Peter's great. It's an amazing book. Also about prayer, if you want to be involved in praying after services over here, let me know. I'm going to do a new schedule here pretty soon because Alan's gone for a while. He goes, you know, I call him a snowbird, but it doesn't work here. In Maine, that's what they're called because they fly away from the snow, but I guess we have snow. But if it's something you're interested in, or as a fill-in, someone we can just call. So I'm going to be working on that soon. So on Sundays, we never know the people that are here, whether they're new believers or not. So I am going to just go through a little bit of who Peter was. So about 30 AD, Peter's journey with Jesus starts. For those of you that may be new, you can see here, this is the same Peter that Jesus met while fishing and said to him, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." The same Peter that Jesus came to his house and healed his mother, and she immediately got up and served him. How many grandmas like food to cook? Well, my wife cooks crazy, so, you know, when somebody comes in, "Would you like something to eat?" That's just Peter's mom, I think, really. She gets up, she's, you know, almost dead, he revives her, she's like, "Food!" That's great. The same one Jesus told to cast the nets again. And he and those were fishing all night, and they cast their nets, and they caught an abundance. That Jesus that changed his name to mean rock or stone, that witnesses Jesus' miracles, that tried to walk on water in Jesus' presence and failed when he took his eyes off Jesus. That same Peter that declared that Jesus was deity in Matthew, he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's Matthew 16, 15 and 16. And also in Matthew, in chapter 16, he says, "And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things for the elders, chief priests, the scribes, to be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" And what did Jesus say? He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, and you are mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." This is where, you imagine Jesus telling you that? That we just wouldn't run away with our tail between our legs, and I'm never talking to him again. What did Jesus do in Peter's life? The same Peter, along with James and John, witnessed the transfiguration, the appearance of Moses and Elijah on the mountain. The same Peter that denied Jesus three times, which Jesus predicted, and he was restored afterwards. The same one who in his zealousness cut off a guy's ear in the garden after Jesus rebuked him and others for falling asleep in the garden when Jesus asked him to keep watch. There are many more I could list, but then in the book of Acts, some years later, within the next 15 or so years, Jesus, having restored Peter and using him mightily, in Acts 2:41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." This is how God used Peter. This is what Jesus did in Peter's life. He was a complete failure as far as a Christian. Did all kinds of dumb things. You know, that's why we love Peter, because we can relate to him. I mean, I won't ask if, you know, anybody that doesn't sin anymore, because that would be really awkward if you put your hand up, because that would be a sin. You'd be lying. But, you know, times like this, I can just look back and see, you know, the things that in our lives, that the things that I have said against God in my foolish ignorance, and now knowing who he was and forgave me for those things. And sometimes my enemy will put them back in the back of my head and go, yeah, remember you said this? But he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, right? We are filled with the Spirit. So there's so much more in the book of Acts. He brings a little girl back to life. Anybody done that? Around 64 AD, he's crucified upside down because he didn't consider it. He didn't consider being crucified in the same manner. He wasn't worthy of being crucified in the same manner as Jesus. He was crucified upside down. This Peter we can learn so much from. And so many of us, like I said, are glad that he is there. The evidence that when we fail, we can be forgiven. Even after we've denied him with our words or actions, we probably have all done that. There is forgiveness. And even after that, God will use us. Even after these things that have come out of our mouths, he goes, you know what, you broken thing, you? I'm going to change you, but I'm going to actually use you to bring glory to me. We don't want to get in the way of that. That's why we need to be Spirit-filled. So 1 Corinthians is the criteria, I guess, for who God's looking for to use. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many of you wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame the things which are mighty. He has chosen us as foolish things, as sheep that run away. We have sheep. They're ridiculous. You just walk in at one runs and they're all like, I gotta go. I don't know why, but they're running. Like, they're ridiculous. Aren't we? I am. If I forget that I am the chosen of God and I'm set aside for his purpose and let the things of the world, which are creeping in on us now, you guys are not blind or deaf. You know what's going on. It's getting worse. You know what? The end is getting really close. And I'm ready for that. So after our fails and restoration, we have nothing to brag about because he could have left us where we were. But the changes in us are through Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy. And you guys know, grace is getting the good things that we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting the things that we do deserve, like hell. We deserve hell. That's not made for us. It was made for Satan. So let's look at our texts. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims in the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Peter, an apostle. He was an apostle from the beginning. Not like Paul. They're both born Jews, but Paul was persecuting the church. He was a Jew. He was a hardcore. That's another whole teaching. But anyhow, Peter was a fisherman. And if you can remember that Peter, when God brought the unclean food down, he said, oh, I can't eat that. Well, he's Jewish, right? If he was a Gentile or a non-Jew, he would be like, oh, yeah, bring it. But he's like, I can't do that. And then God finally said, no, you can. I say it's clean. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, because there is no mic version. Thank the Lord. So Peter was from the beginning when Jesus was picking the dream team. I mean, not so dream, because if you can remember, there were actually a bunch of misfits, and we can still relate. Do you ever ask yourself why God would use such a bunch of dysfunctional people as us? We have, I mean, I'm not going to talk for any, like just in our family. I mean, we've got stuff, and that's multiplied here in this room. And he uses us. And, you know, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. All the things that we've experienced before Christ came into our lives is used to counsel, to understand what people are going through. He uses all of that. We fail, we sin, and hopefully we repent. Sometimes we wound each other with our words. You know, that's just the fact of it. In Acts 15, where am I? 37. Oh, yeah. Back to their problems. Right. Verse 37 to 39 says, and now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark. And Paul insisted that they should not take him, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and not gone with them to work. Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So there were problems. There were issues. Like, what was going on there? But later on, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, oh, get Mark. He's helpful to me in the ministry. So God did some healing there. So when there's problems, you know, that's why Matthew 18 says, you know, go to people and talk to them. He wants restoration. He wants us to, you know, we have stuff that we go through. A lot of different personalities in this room. A lot of different characters. You know, I know a few. Where's that Alessio? We all know him. But he uses us, and sometimes we wound each other. You know what? That's okay. You know, don't think that Satan's not going to use you at some point. He'll make you say something that you probably shouldn't say, but God turns that around, right? When Joseph was in Egypt and his brothers came, and they were afraid when dad died that Joseph was going to take some revenge. And he said, what you meant for evil, God used for good. He threw him in a prison for 2 years, and he served the Lord so much that people noticed it, and he was put in charge of the prison. You know, there's so much in his life. Like, he never looked at it as if, oh man, them stinkers, when I get out of here. Now, he did mess with them. If you want to read about it, it's awesome. He's made them sweat a little bit. But in the end, he knew that it was God's will. So he uses us to share his perfect word. My biggest fear is to say something out of place. Now, speaking in front of people all the time, generally we say, misspeak a word that's not in there. We do that. We're human. But I mean not to teach something wrong. Teaching something wrong is, you know, not good. And there's a lot of people that be judged for that. So continue, it said the pilgrims. You know, we think about the pilgrims, the funny hats and the shoes, or the funny shoes and hats, because that was weird. But pilgrims are looking for a place to settle. Even though this is not our home, we do have to live here for now. But this group is searching, he comes across. So for you historians, this was taking place in modern-day Turkey. All those cities are. If I was really skilled, I could have thrown up a map and showed you. But I could send one to Kevin, but it would have been like, you know, half an hour before we started. So, but the letter was written to the church, whether your background was Jew or Gentile, because we are Gentiles, because Alan's not here. He's Jew. He's a completed Jew. Not, is there any other Jews that are here now? Nope, that wasn't it. That's a good time. So anyhow, that's a neat thing that he got to experience the whole thing. So these would be considered the general epistles. So Peter, James, and John's epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, are the general epistles. That's just what they're called. That's how you live your life pleasing to God. Not that the rest of the Bible isn't, but these are just, that's what they're called. That's all. Verse 2 said to the elect, God chose us, as we just read in 1 Corinthians, not for eloquence of speech, not for our looks. Good thing, huh? But possibly for our obedience. God's word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. I did this for you, Lord. No, just do what I tell you. Yes, we can give. We can do things for God. Don't get me wrong. You know, I want to be more, you know, involved in the prayer here. I want to pray for people. I got a chance to pray with somebody in a restaurant last week. It was awesome. I love those opportunities. But if he foreknew that we would choose him, foreknew that we would be elect. How do you know if you're elect? Choose him. There, now you're elect. I don't feel like I am. Who cares? You are. Make that decision, because this is the end of the year. How many in here have family that's not saved? Hopefully they are this year, right? Next year. It's not this year yet. I mean, it's this year. But, you know, not eloquence of speech. But choose him. Jesus knew you would when you did. He's like, yeah, I've been waiting for this knucklehead. I was 42. There's some others that were older than that. Much older. That's cool when you baptize somebody 60, 70 years old. Young people, of course. I said that somewhere with some kid, and I said, they were young, like, oh, it was Jeremiah. I said something about talking to Kenny the other day in practice. I said, yeah, he's a younger man, like late 50s, early 60s, and Jeremiah's looking at me like, I don't know, what's he, 12? I don't know. but he knew that we would. We are sanctified in the Spirit, it says, set apart. In verse 15 and 16, it says, we might get to it, might not. but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. He has called us to be holy. What is our conduct? It's not what's going on out there. It's not the craziness that's out there. We are to be peacemakers. We're not to roll over. We need to stand up for Christ. No doubt about that. But don't get caught up in senseless arguments. Verses 3 to 9, we'll read through that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with great with joy inexpressible and full of glory. There we go. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Giving thanks. I wonder if we really understand what God has done in our lives to bring us to this place today. Do you ever think of how important you are? I don't know about you guys. I mean, I live out White Signal, and it's dark out there. And the stars, when you get out, they're almost like, I mean, they're there. And I just, doesn't that make you feel tiny? Not to God. He created it. Now, I watched a video the other day, this new telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope. Anybody, any science geeks in here? I thought it was just the Hubble. Man, that thing's old news. I mean, that's 20, 30 years ago. It was in the 90s, I think. This James Webb Telescope can see 66 billion light years away, traveling at 186,000 miles a second for 66 billion years. How did that happen? Well, God created everything mature. He didn't create babies to take care of themselves. He created Adam and Eve. He didn't plant seeds for the animals and go, well, in a few weeks, you'll be able to eat. He made them full size. He made them mature. So watching this video and listening to these men try to explain things, it was really funny. They said that things weren't created as they thought. And the universe is moving away from us, and it doesn't make any sense because there's no gravity to pull it away. Well, what was created first? The earth, then the heavens, then the stars. So is the earth the center of the universe? So this is what one of the guys said, and I had to laugh. It says, It doesn't refute the Big Bang cosmology or say that we have to start from scratch. But what it does say is we have to learn new ways of getting stars to assemble very quickly after the bang. Or it could have just, God just said, stars. That's pretty quick. This video, if you want to watch it, they have some answers in Genesis scientists as well. It was called The Shocking Truth About James Webb Telescope. So it was really good. They talked about a lot of things that they found. I mean, it's amazing that God gives us the technology to look out there. And they said, this is what they can see, but that's only as far as they can see yet. It doesn't seem to be an end. Well, what else is infinite? God. So could he create something to us that would look infinite? You know, I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm just giving you these weird questions so you can't sleep at night. Before I was a believer, I used to think about the universe, and it would scare me because I could say, how come there's nothing outside of that or outside of that or outside of that? I used to have panic attacks about death. I know it's outside of that. God is outside of that. So it's a great video. I think it was like a half an hour long. It was really good. So giving God the glory in everything is what he wants us to do. You know, like I said, when we go hiking, I mean, this place is beautiful. You know, Joe and Dia are in... Well, I won't say, but they're in the tropics, in palm trees. No, it's beautiful. When we moved here, we did the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, I've never seen for 30, 40 miles. Unless you're on top of Mount Katahdin, which is the highest mountain in Maine. But like, you know, Maine, the trees are like this. So your sky is like, you know. And I first moved out here, and I actually lived in this house down behind the church. And I was talking to somebody on the face thing, you know. And he's like, that's big sky country. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's crazy. We do the same thing in awe of what's here. You guys have lived here all the time. Like, eh. You know, the sunrises and sunsets blow my mind because they're big. So in Maine, you'd see it. But here, it's like, goes from there to over there. It's orange. Like, how does that happen? So if you're on my Facebook, you'll see me doing these videos. It's weird, but I can't help it. God did that. The sun shines through this water to make these colors for us so we can say, wow, God, you are amazing. You did that just so we would stand back and go, this is our creator. He did this. So we could just take this moment, hike out middle of nowhere, see this cool thing and go, God, you put that there so we would just stop and give you glory. Is that how we're looking at life? Or are we looking at all the stuff that's going on? We can get distracted by the news. And there's some important stuff that needs to go on there. You know, I watched this senseless thing the other day about racism. And I said to my wife, why are the colleges, why is the application no race and no sex? So you get the people by the ones that want to be there, by merit. Why are we choosing by color and by their, and whether male or female? There's only two sexes, you guys. So, in case you've watched the news a lot. Why is that an issue? You know, it's a weird, we're in a weird time. So, anyhow, so I won't be here all day. Joe said I could go to 1:30 or something. I don't know. But, anyhow, verse 3 continues. It says, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found this, I think it was in the New Believer's Bible, or the Believer's Bible. That's a big old thing I'm going to whip out here in a minute. The Lord, the one with exclusive right to rule in hearts and lives. Jesus, the one who saves his people from their sins. Christ, God's anointed one who has been exalted to heaven's highest place. It is by God's abundant mercy that we are saved from his wrath, because there is wrath coming. We don't have to worry about that. The judgment we have is beamer seat judgment. It's not for heaven or hell. We've given our lives to the Lord. We're in. It's just we got to finish. We can be changed and born again. We are new creations. We are not how we used to be. Like I said, if you look back and see, you know, we talk about that and it's like, man, that was like a different life. Well, because it was. I mean, yes, we have the same chronological time that just keeps passing by. You know, we're all time traveling, right? A minute equals a minute. You know, we're traveling through time so you don't get whiplash. You look back and you go, who were those? Who was them young things met? Well, we were 40. Well, I was 42. I won't say how. She's younger than me. But that old life, so he has begotten us to be born again, to begotten. You know the term. We're born of the flesh, natural birth. When we are the born of the Spirit, we are born again. You know, a lot of, you see bumper stickers, born right the first time. No, sorry. You were born according to the flesh, right? You have to finish that. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. If you're born once, you die the physical death, you die the spiritual death. Born again, you die the spiritual, the physical death, and the spiritual one, we get to go be with Jesus. You know, how many of you think about people that have gone before you in heaven that are just waiting? And when you get there and you go, what took you so long? It's like, it's not funny. I was stubborn. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Some point in our lives, we will get an inheritance. Man, we got one from her mother. It cost us a lot of money to pay that inheritance off. And, you know, and sometimes we get great inheritance. People inherit millions. You know what? It's still going to rot. It's, you can't take it with you. But this inheritance that we got from Jesus Christ cannot be compared to those. It's eternal. It'll never be used up. It'll never corrode. We have an eternal home. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Being kept is a great thing in this context. Warren Wiersbe says, it is reserved in heaven where it cannot decay, incorruptible, be defiled or lose its beauty or delight. But not only in the hope reserved, the believer too is kept as guarded by a soldier by the Lord. We are kept by God's power because of the faith which we have placed in him. Eternal security is not based on the faith of men, but on the faithfulness of God. The believer is saved. He is being saved daily through sanctification. He will be saved completely when Christ returns. And that's, if you want to look that up, Romans 8, 15 to 25. And the end, completion, perfection of our faith will be complete salvation of the believer, which is in verse 9 here that says, receiving the end of your faith for the salvation of your souls. You'll inherit a new body. And then verse says, in this you greatly rejoice. No kidding, right? You greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you will be grieved by various trials. We can greatly rejoice. You may say, even when things look hopeless. How many of you guys have been through some hopeless stuff? I know, I look around and I can see some people that have been through some stuff. We've been through some stuff. Pastor Joe and Dia have been through some stuff, right? You don't lose hope. It's just like this is a time in our life, a season. We read that in James about trials, and I'm not going to get into that. If you've never read the book of James, if you're new, I highly recommend it. That was Jesus' half-brother. And can't imagine being in his shoes, growing up with a perfect kid. I mean, I do, because my siblings must feel that way. So if my sister's watching, you know, I have a sister in Maine, she watches all the time, Kathy Jones, so if you see her name on there, you can harass her about me, it's fine. We have a very close relationship. But if you haven't read James, please do, or, you know, just read the whole thing, you know. I always joke with my wife, and it's like, man, if God, I love Joe, but if God would just send me a text, and like, he did, it's long, you got to read it. You don't read it, it's not going to do you any good. That is what a text used to talk about, something in the text. It was this, not this. Where'd I go? Oh yeah, verse 7. Then the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is kind of saying like where the rubber meets the road. This is the Believer's Bible I was telling you about. It's really good. I like it. And it just has like the scripture throughout it. It's really cool. I like the way it's done. But anyhow, this is for our faith in hard times. I do have markers because, you know, this is a big book. We had this place in Maine. It was called Marden's, and it was a salvage place. You know, you find a lot of in salvage places, books on Christianity, because people just don't want them. I've gotten J. Vernon McGee commentaries for $2-3 a piece. I'd always go in there and look for stuff. Vine's dictionary on names, stuff like that. You gotta look for the, I don't know if they have any of them nice bargain places here, but anyhow. So it says in here, this is further comfort for suffering saints in knowing that their sufferings are neither purposeless nor fruitless. The sufferings of the ungodly are only a foretaste of the pangs of hell, which they will endure eternally. This is not true for the Christian. One of these many beneficial purposes of affliction is in this life for the child of God is to test the genuineness of his faith. Peter contrasts our faith with gold. Of all the substances known to man, gold is the one most imperishable. It can be subject to intense heat and might seem to be indestructible. The truth is, though, that gold perishes through use, pressure, and fire. I mean, fire, it can go to, you can burn anything with that. True faith is indestructible. The believer may undergo severe tests and trials, but instead of destroying his faith, they become food for faith to feed on. Genuine faith will result in praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. This simply means that God will restore every instance of faith that stood the test. He will praise those who are joyful, those surrounded by trouble. He will award honor and glory to tried and suffered believers who are able to accept their tribulations as a vote of confidence with him. This will be apparent when Jesus Christ comes back to earth to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all those whom the world rejected will be shown clearly to be sons of God. The comparison of Scripture indicates that the rewards will be announced at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven after the rapture. But the public display of these rewards apparently takes place at the second advent of Christ. So it goes on. I use this a lot. That faith, that testing is, it's for a reason. I have another quote here from Matthew Henry because I just can't leave him out. So good. If you haven't heard of him, he died in like 1710 or something. He finished well. I don't know if you guys know I don't like to read books from people who are still alive because I don't know if they're going to mess up their life after they write the book. I got a couple authors I really read a lot of their books and then they went way wacko and I'm like, I don't really want to read what he said anymore. So I just read the dead authors. It's my thing. The afflictions of serious Christians are designed for trial of their faith. God's design in afflicting his people is their probation, not their destruction, their advantage, not their ruin. A trial, as the word signifies, is an experiment or search made upon a man by some affliction to prove the value and strength of his faith. The trial is made upon faith principally, rather than on than other grace, because the trial of this is, in effect, the trial of all that is good in us. Our Christianity depends upon our faith. If this be wanting, there is nothing else that is spiritually good in us. There is nothing else, it's nothing in us that is good. And one of my pastors from Maine, he got me in this habit of, I don't know if you guys ever ask how you're doing, and I say I'm well. Because I used to say I'm good, and he's like, there's only one that was good. I'm like, oh. So it got stuck in my head. Left to our own, we can get in nothing but trouble. Could you imagine? See, think about back when you thought you could hide things in your life. There's no depth that we would go without correction. But the Holy Spirit does that. He does that. I heard a quote again from a Ray Comfort video. She says, well, he told us to just come as we are. He loves us how we are. Like, wait, he said come as you are. But he wants us to change and to follow him. So we have to be careful with that. The thing in us that is good is the Holy Spirit. He came to dwell in us. We can do nice things. We can be nice. Before I was a believer, it wasn't that nice because I had anger problems. But like I donate to, the soccer club and I felt good about myself. I was doing it make myself feel better. That was completely selfish. I had the money, so I'm, you know, mazel. That's my new word. That's, if you guys watch Vice Grip Garage, he doesn't waste his time saying might as well. It's mazel. And now I have Tamara saying it. When I was not a believer, I could do good things. I could be nice to people if I had an agenda, right? I could be really mean to people. I mean, I still can be mean, hopefully not as much. No? So David Guzik, I like what he says always, but our faith isn't tested because God doesn't know how much or what kind of faith we have. It is It is tested because we often are ignored of it is tested because we often are ignorant of how much or what kind of faith we have. God's purpose in testing is to display the enduring quality of our faith, to show us who we are. And then when we fail, we're like, ah, man, I failed. Lord, forgive me. Start over, right? It's that easy. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And of course, you guys probably know what scripture I'm going to talk about with that. John 20:29, Jesus said to them, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Have we seen evidence of Jesus, though? Right? The old saying of, you know, how do you know you have a brain? You've never seen it. Well, we haven't seen Jesus, but we've seen his evidence. We don't see the wind. We see what it does. We've seen what Jesus has done in our lives and the people around us, and so thankful. That's why we love him. I think it goes back to me for creation, as I was talking about, it's just that thing of him showing himself in creation. You know, we can just look around, and we choose to. We can give him glory for all kinds of things. But he has given us a life that we do not deserve. We have experiences changed. We have been through changes that we can't explain. We have experiences that we've gone through that we can't explain, but we don't have to because Jesus did it. God, we don't get credit for living this life. We're like, oh, so holy. Oh, don't ever say that, right? I am so holy. You look at somebody, it's like, I can look at these people I know and go, man, they live a godly life. I know their life outside of this church. I know Joe outside of this church. He's not different. Well, I mean, he's more of a goofball, but like, I know him. I know people out in public, and I don't get surprised. And I used to tell my students when I used to teach here, I said, you see me out in public saying something you don't think is right, you want to come up to me and say, Mr. D, that didn't seem very Christ-like. I said, you want to do that? Because I'm going to do it to you. We need to be correcting each other in love, right? Like, you know, sinner, no. Like, hey, look, I don't know what just happened here. I just came in on it. But that didn't look too Christ-like there. Did I see that right? You know, brother, I want to pray for you. Sister, I want to pray for you. You know, this is where we need to be. We don't want to be finding people's faults. No sin sniffing. Salvation comes with all this. We get to be with God for eternity, get our questions answered if we still have them. You think you have all these questions, and we get there, and then we're standing there, and Jesus is there, and we're like, I don't remember. I don't. You're not going to be able to share the gospel in heaven. Well, you can. It won't matter. Hey, you know about Jesus? Yeah, I know. I was just talking to him. Did you know that? Yes. Yes. What else do you want to talk about? Because that's old news now. This is the only chance we get to share it here now. We have a lot of sharing to do. These studies, you know, Joe and I talk about it. We get so convicted when we're... I like doing my thing, going home. I don't like going to stores, shopping. I get to go see Haley, but, you know, picking out a Walmart. She was a student here. It's Michelle's daughter. So we won't. I don't think we'll have a lot of these questions. I think we'll get some new questions, like how did that happen? Like, well, let me show you. I was always told that you could be learning forever in heaven if you want to be. Because if you ask, like, Lord, but how did this happen here? And he explained that all to you, however long it takes, however thousands of years, if you know, accounting by time. And then you go, oh, I don't understand all that. And God's like, well, I didn't even tell you about all this over here. Like, I got plans for you guys. Like, I got stuff to do. There's going to be stuff to do that we love to do. Joy inexpressible. There are no earthly words to express the joy of God. When you have the joy of the Lord, you know it. Have you ever experienced in prayer, and I know a lot of you have, when you pray for someone for years, decades, and then we'll pray and we're just like, Lord, you know all things. I don't know. I want you to save my boy. I want you to save my daughter. I don't even know what else. I've prayed everything that I could possibly think of. I don't know what else. Lord, you know all things. It's in a groaning in prayer, right? That's in Romans. And if I can get there fairly quick, I didn't have... Oh, or it's right there. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then we all know that all things work together. So we just need to, our heart has got to be there, right? Oh, I didn't have to look it up. I had it on my paper. You guys didn't know I skipped a part in that song either. So, you know, getting pretty slick around here. I have to laugh. If this musician's here, I'm sure. When you hear somebody make a mistake, like, it blesses me when Tamara makes a mistake. I'm sorry. Because I say, oh, she's keeping it real. And Kim, like, what? I didn't hear anything wrong. Because she's not a music person. And so, anyhow, we think everybody in the whole world just heard it. It's recorded forever, you know. But we need to be complete reliance on God. And I think that's something that we have to learn. You know, we always tell people, give it to the Lord. And I give it to the Lord, and then 15 minutes or a week later, I got it again. I'm like, oh, what are you going to do, Lord? Did I give it? No. Oh, I didn't. I still have it. Give it to him and forget about it. The stuff that we can't fix, he can fix it all. We need to learn to trust him. Verse 9 said, again, receiving the end of our faith, the salvation of your souls. The end of our faith, what? When does our faith end? We get heaven. We don't need it. Right? We don't need faith to believe. We're there. We're done. Like, yes. Pastor Chuck used to say, you know, we know the pearly gates and all that's, you know. He said, when you're walking in, it says saved with a question mark. And when you walk through on the other side, it says saved with an exclamation point. Right? Are we saved? Are we saved? We should know that we are. That shouldn't be a question in our mind. Somebody asked me that once. Do you know you're saved? Absolutely. Really? Yes. Why? Because he said so. Like that clip to Alistair Begg, how'd you get to heaven? The fruit thief on the cross, he says, I don't know, the guy in the middle said I could come. I don't know, do you know about baptism? No, I don't know, I'm here. He said, come. We make it way too complicated. Now, there's nothing wrong with the studies, like the men's study that John does and these guys, man, they get into some stuff. And so many people go, man, that's so interesting. And it is, but let's not complicate that with our salvation. Salvation is like, yes, Jesus, I want to be with you. Fill me with your Spirit so I can live this life that's pleasing to you. So the end of our faith, we receive salvation. We get to heaven. That's it. He's standing there. I'm thinking about time. Because we're doing communion too. I wonder if somebody could go up and tell the youth to come down for communion. Thank you. Verses 10 and 11. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Oh, and 12. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering to the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel and to the Holy Spirit sent to heaven, things which angels desire to look into. That is cool. So it's the prophets first. The prophets were intrigued. They were interested in the answers, but they couldn't have them yet, right? Like these old prophets, like, can you imagine giving one of them like the book of John? And they'd be like, whoa, where'd this come from? or, you know, Matthew, or, you know, we want to judge the apostles sometimes. They're a bunch of dummies. Well, if we had only the Old Testament, could we find the stuff in there about Jesus? Because we have it all, it's all spilled out for us. So, Pastor Chuck Smith says, now he's saying here that the prophets didn't really understand all the things that they wrote. We remember when Daniel was seeking and understanding some of the things he was writing about, and the Lord just said, Daniel, seal it up. It's not for now, it's for the future. In the last days, knowledge will increase. They will understand it then. So seal it up. It's not given to you to know a particular point. It's not time for some of them. But they had so many things that they didn't understand that we have a handle on, this for sure. So the other thing I wanted to point out about that is the angels desired to look into it. Do you think the angels look at them and us and go, why did they get forgiven 43 times or 100 or 300, 5,000 times? Now, the angels that Satan brought out of heaven, they were in the presence of God and sinned. That was blasphemy, I assume. They don't get to go back. They didn't get, oh, I'm sorry. No, too late. You are with God. We get so many chances. But there is a point where it says that they did not leave the sin and he gave them over to a debased mind. We don't want to be there. So I'm just going to read while the worship team comes up, and you're going to have to bear with me because I got like wires and stuff. So J. Vernon McGee, always like him. If you guys aren't familiar with him, he's got quite an accent, Texas accent. But the things which angels desire to look into is my opinion that the angel God-created intelligences are standing up yonder looking at you and me, wondering why we don't get busy and give out the tremendous message today. They desire to do it to themselves. They would love to come and proclaim it to the world. You recall the angel Gabriel came and made the announcement for Mary and later to Joseph that Jesus was to be born. Also, he came to Zacharias and he was going to have a son named John, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. I am sure that Gabriel would love to come down again and say to me, as I make my radio broadcast, move over, McGee. You're not putting enough into it. Are we putting enough into it? You know, we get to the end of the year here, before we take communion. It's kind of nice to be able to walk around with the microphone on. Before we get to communion, you know, we have to look back at what's going on in our lives. And he said, Luke 22, 19 and 20, he says, well, let me talk about communion for a minute. We have two different things going on here. We have the regular cups, and then we have the sealed up ones. So it's not both, it's take one or the other. So if you're not familiar with what we normally do, there's one cup that has a wafer on the bottom and then the juice is on top, and the other ones are made the same way. You peel one off and then you peel the other off. So Luke 22, 19, 20, you guys know this. It took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, this is my body, which I do for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you. So we have, back in 1 Corinthians 11, you guys know this anyhow. It's the last time we get to do it this year. What if the Lord returned right now? Yes. Did anybody get scared when I said that? No, not at all. He said, yes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We are all unworthy without Christ. There's no getting around that. But if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ this morning, if you think, we're going to play a little bit of a song, you can come up and get your communion, and I'm going to just have some time after that, we're just going to sit here and get right with Jesus. And make sure that there's nothing between us this last day of this year, that there's not anything that we need to ask for forgiveness. Do it right now, right? Or do it when you're walking to get your communion. We can't wait for this. We want to start off a new year with, I don't know, I got stuff. I'm really confused. We want to start off on the right foot. We want to end on the right foot. It would be amazing. I keep saying this, Lord. It'd be amazing if you took communion and you took us out. If you took us out of here. But then how many of you think about people left behind? All right? We still have things to do. That's why we're all still here. God could have taken any one of us out way before this. Our granddaughter was taken out at 3. We're very jealous. We get to see her again. That hope. You guys have all lost people. There's that hope of seeing them again. So as I start, we're going to play this song and come on up.